You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Hi everyone, I hope you've had a great week. Today, I'm going to be covering what I think is possibly one of the most difficult things God calls us to on this journey as we follow Jesus. In our series over the past weeks, we've been looking at the different ways that we follow Jesus. We've called it People of the Way, and we've looked at how to grow in God's presence, how to grow in His Word, growing in generosity and fasting, prayer and fellowship. And I guess one of those may have been a particular challenge and struggle for you personally, but the topic we're going to look at today, I think, is a challenge for all of us. It's one of the hardest things we're called to do. And so this week, we're looking at how to grow in forgiveness. See, popular culture sings about forgiveness all the time. And although these songs may date me somewhat, I think back to Nirvana's All Apologies, the Ramones' Swallow My Pride, and Prince and Purple Rain, and maybe more recently, Adele and Hello. And the list goes on and on. Forgiveness is hard, meaningful, and needed. Films are often made about it. You think of just great films like The Mission or Invictus, who pick up this majestic theme of forgiveness. In our relationships, forgiveness is so crucial to deep, meaningful, and lasting friendships. Equally, if you flip it on its head and look through the lens of unforgiveness, you can see the pain and the hurt and the bitterness that can grow up and take hold in people when unforgiveness is present. So please turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to be reading from verse 3 to 10. Let me read it for you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. See, to understand forgiveness, and what I mean by that is being able to receive forgiveness from God, but also be able to say, I forgive you, to others. To understand that, we need to go right back to the beginning. And I'm not talking about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. I'm saying we're going right back into eternity past, where it was just God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The book of Ephesians begins with an insight into the Trinity before creation had happened, and it's where it all started. Our starting place is here in verse 4, and so let me read it to you again. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. You see, sometimes we can read that, and if we know our Bibles well, it can just become a bit familiar, and we can read it and say, oh, that's nice. But we have to grasp hold of the richness of what Paul is writing to the Ephesians and indeed to us right here. See, before you were born, and I mean way before that, God had decided that there would be a people of God and that you would be a part of it. But for that to happen, given God knows all things at all time, He also knew that He would have to send God the Son to live this life, die on the cross, and be resurrected to save you. See, that was all done, God's choice of you, and implicit within that, for you to be chosen, you needed to be rescued and saved by Jesus before anything of what we know as creation was even in existence. And God did this choosing before creation so that we, you and me, should be holy and blameless before Him. The only way we are holy and blameless before God is if we've been found, forgiven, and freed by Jesus Christ. So before creation, God had provided for your forgiveness in the future. Let's think about that for a moment. You see, we get so wrapped up in our lives and we can get so closed in on ourselves that we can miss the good news because our focus becomes too closely drawn down onto our sin rather than on God's provision. And the longer that I'm a Christian and the more people that I speak to, I come across those who struggle with receiving God's forgiveness. They look so intently at their own life, their own sin, and convince themselves that they are just a step beyond redemption and forgiveness. People like this often feel that Jesus can forgive others, but there's something in their sin, either in its quantity or its magnitude, that means that they are somehow out of reach of the forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. And I often hear, "If you only knew what I have done." But in focusing so intently on their sin and on their lives, they miss the good news. Before they even were, before the world even was, God has chosen them and had provided back then for their future forgiveness and salvation. And of course, God is out of time, so it's a bit confusing, but God knew exactly what each one of us would do, the extent of our sin, and still, in His grace and mercy, He saw all of that, and He chose us anyway to be holy and blameless before Him. It's utterly amazing, and it should undo us entirely and cause us to fall down before Him in worship and adoration, love and thankfulness. You see, God is not surprised by our lives or our sin. It's not like He's standing in heaven with this startled face, talking with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, just sort of flabbergasted at my life and yours, saying to them, "Man, I just didn't see that coming. I thought I'd seen everything up until this point, and yet look at what Rick's just done. What am I going to do now?" Is that the God of the universe, maker of heaven and earth? Not even close. Is that God, the Father, who chose us before the foundation of the world? Not even close to being close. Is that the Lord God Almighty, who chose us to be blameless and holy before Him? It's not even in the ballpark. See, our forgiveness was provided for in the heart of God in eternity past, before it all began, and He still chose you and me. Forgiveness begins with God, is from God, and it never involved us anyway, other than to receive it with gladness and joy. See, God the Father had your number before there were numbers, and still He chose you, still provided for your forgiveness in the loving act of sending the Son to forgive and reconcile the world to God. So for everyone out there that struggles with receiving God's forgiveness, thinking you have moved beyond the reach of His mighty arm to save, this verse is for you. Before it all began, God chose you. Then moving on to verse 7 and 8, let me read that again for you. "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight." In Him, in Christ Jesus, not in our own efforts, not in being good, not in trying harder, not in any other thing, person or work, but only in Christ Jesus do we have our redemption, and that is through His blood. How devastating, how destructive, and how costly is sin, and more personally, our sin. Our redemption was through the blood of the innocent one, the sinless one being shed, that blood being shed for the guilty, the one person in history who lived a perfect, sinless life, dying on the cross for the guilty and the sinful. It's scandalous, it's unheard of, and it's the gospel of grace. It's beautiful, the most priceless gift in the universe, and it's yours to receive. It's in this redemption by Christ's blood we have the forgiveness of our trespasses. In Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we are now fully, freely, and forever forgiven. There isn't a sin that you have committed right now or about to commit or you will commit in the future that isn't covered and forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Fully, freely, and forever forgiven. Nothing outside of it and nothing beyond it. The second half of verse 7 and then on to verse 8 emphasizes this. According to the riches of his grace, praise God, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. There is a lavishness here which is also scandalous. But God has lavished the riches of grace in all wisdom and insight. Lavish has the sense of over the top, extravagant and abundant. It's above and beyond, and yet God gave his grace to us in this way, lavishing it upon us in all wisdom and insight. In God's wisdom, he lavished his grace upon us, and not only in his wisdom, but in also his insight. And to me, this speaks of a knowing by God of all that was involved with us, with sin, and with you and with me. And yet with all insight and wisdom, he chose us and lavished us with his grace anyway. And that's why growing in forgiveness begins with seeing, knowing, and understanding and experiencing the forgiveness of God offered in Christ Jesus. Without grasping the enormity of what that forgiveness cost and the depths and destructiveness of our sin, we will either think too little of it or think of it too little. And yet, when we do know it and experience it in the very depths of our being, we will gladly receive it and be utterly undone by it. In 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14 and 15, it says this, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." In the grace and forgiveness of God, we are touched by the love of Christ. Once touched by the love of Christ, it is his love that controls us, or your version might say compels us. I've heard it said that it's our loves that controls us. Here, the love of Christ, once known through the grace and forgiveness of God, controls us. It controls our heart and our mind. It means we ask for the Spirit of God to conform and change our mind and our thoughts to his thoughts, which says that we are redeemed and forgiven. It controls our hearts so that we no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us. It happens, and when it happens, there is a release into the arms of God. There is a giving up of the pretense we so often hold on to that we are in control, and we come into a revelation that no matter what I do, I cannot redeem or forgive the sin that I have committed. See, in my life, I know of the forgiveness of Christ. I was in the gutter, broken, lost, heavily involved in drugs and alcohol, and in the selfishness of the world I inhabited, I was even unaware of the wreckage that was left behind me. Broken relationships, pain, and just unnecessary hurt. And in his grace and mercy, Christ found me. I was doing an Alpha course back in 1994. I was anti-church and anti-God, always partying, always looking for the next score. And yet God was searching. Nothing mattered to me other than the weekend sessions, and they started on Thursday night. And yet God was seeking. I resisted all the way, poking fun and mocking the leaders of my alpha group and as losers and needing a crutch. And yet God didn't stop. His Holy Spirit kept drawing me near, and I knew something was afoot. The partying didn't stop, but in my down times I pondered, and maybe even in the depths of me I hoped. And God didn't stop. I tried to avoid the weekend away on the Alpha course, but somehow I ended up there, and God didn't stop. I reluctantly attended each meeting, and then in the Saturday evening meeting, God not only didn't stop, but he broke in powerfully. Before that meeting, I didn't know Jesus. I knew something about him. But after that meeting, I knew him. He broke into my life, and I reckon it was at that moment, in that meeting on Saturday night at the Alpha Weekend Away, that I experienced his forgiveness. It crashed in on me like a wave on the ocean, and it picked me up and it tossed me around for a little bit, and then, like riding the cleanest of pipes, it shot me forward into a new chapter and a new beginning. And you know what? Experiencing Jesus' forgiveness and grace and knowing the love of God still compels me and controls me today, all of those years later. Not in a sense of obligation or duty, but out of utter love for him who didn't give up, who never stopped looking, didn't stop seeking, but found me, forgave me, and redeemed me. And I have plenty of opportunities due to my continued bullheadedness and the way that sin continues to try and entice me. I have plenty of opportunities to say, please forgive me to other people. My wife and I have a phrase which for each other when we started, just first were married, where we began sharing it with others as we met with them and tried to help them in different ways. And it was this sense of we had a race to the place of forgiveness, almost as in a race, seeing who can get to that place first when we argued and irritated one another. See, just in the last week or so, I wrote something in an email which was bullheaded and badly worded. It offended and frustrated others. And the Lord brought me back to it like the loving Father that he is. And I have this sort of funny image in my head. It wasn't a vision or a big picture. It didn't happen, but I've got this picture in my head, if you like, of God the Father coming over to me, and he's got the email in his hand, and he just places it on the desk and he says, maybe we can talk about this. He brought it back to me, and I reread the email and I groaned at my own stupidity. Asked God for forgiveness first, and then spoke to the person who I had offended, saying sorry for the email and asking for his forgiveness. And it was a blessed moment. The person who had got the email had the opportunity to honestly share how they were feeling and after receiving the email. And I was able to ask them for forgiveness. Not just to say sorry, but actually ask for forgiveness. I always like saying those words to people, please forgive me. They are powerful. And in that moment, the chance the enemy had to bring division and strife was nullified by the power of Christ and the loving forgiveness and grace of a brother and friend. You see, I'm sure that in this coming week, I'm going to have many more opportunities to say those powerful words, please forgive me. But every time I do, I am reminded that before the foundation of the world, I was chosen and God provided for my future forgiveness. Jesus Christ, the sinless one, the innocent one, was judged guilty and paid for my sin, and yet offers the gift of salvation and redemption and forgiveness to me, the very one who made him go to the cross. And that offer is there for you today. If you don't know Jesus and you haven't received his grace or forgiveness or love, And you are able to receive all of that right now. Take a moment and pray to God the Father, asking for forgiveness for your sin, and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. You will know His forgiveness, and He will set you free. For those of you who are already on this journey, but struggling with receiving Jesus' forgiveness for your particular sins, my heart is that you will know the truth of Ephesians 1, which we've looked at today, and that God, before any of it, and He knew all of it, and yet He still chose you and He chose me. Don't continue to believe the lies of the enemy who is trying to whisper in your head, telling you that your sins are just too much. They're just out of reach. That God is continually disappointed in you, and that you won't ever have a place in God's house. They are lies from the enemy. Remember and know, before it all happened, with full wisdom and insight into all you would do, all you're doing right now, and all you will do in all of your tomorrows, God knew it all and still chose you. For you guys, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will work in your lives right now and break into your life, lavishing the grace and forgiveness of God upon you. Like we read and like the scriptures declare here in Ephesians chapter 1, and like what has happened in my life and many others, if He's done it for me, He can do it for you. That is who He is. Bless you. Have a great week, and grow through the power of the Holy Spirit in forgiveness this week.